Paul was talking about people going back to the law in order to become righteous through the law. And he said, you've fallen from grace. It's not unrighteousness. Falling from grace is self-righteousness. You go home and read the passage to the Galatians. He said, if justification comes by the law, Jesus Christ is dead in vain. He said, you've fallen from grace if you seek to be justified by circumcision and by the other laws and rules and regulations of the Mosaic covenant. But see, when you get this firmly embedded in you, that in the new covenant, you receive righteousness as a gift. Romans 5:17 says that the reason you reign in life is because you've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Would you lift your hand right now and say, I receive the gift of righteousness, so that in the sight of heaven, God sees me as righteous as himself. You can't improve on that. But you can absorb that into your life and in great gratitude offer him a life that reflects his righteousness by living according to righteous standards. And then you're not striving for a goal that's already been bought for you by the blood. You're responding with gratitude and thankfulness and worshiping God with a lifestyle that is pleasing to him. Now that's what it's all about. And that will set you free. That will give your spirit eagle wings when you realize it's not all about you struggling and striving and striving and struggling to become something. The blood's already given you the potential of becoming. It's just yielding to the flow of the river and letting God be God in your life. Can you give him a great big praise right now? I think it's significant that the word Almighty appears more times in the book of Job than any other Old Testament book. And it appears more times in the book of Revelation than any other New Testament book. What significance is that? Well, the book of Job is the book that chronicles the great tribulation of one man. Revelation is the New Testament book that foretells the great tribulation of the whole world. But whether or not it's the great tribulation of one man or the entire world, in the midst of it, he's still the Almighty. I said, he's still the Almighty. I said, he's still the Almighty, no matter what takes place in this world. And things are speedily moving us forward to a scenario that is frightening if you don't have God in your life. I have no idea the machinations that are taking place in the invisible government that controls our visible government. See, there's some things in motion to strip us of our sovereignty as a nation in order to blend in with the new world order. Most of our presidents in recent years, except for Ronald Reagan, have been members of the Council of Foreign Relations. CFR, an international organization started by Rockefeller that has united world bankers, world political leaders, world media giants together into one group. And one of their primary agendas is the dissolving of the individual identities of different nations to blend in with this global order called the New World Order of a one world global government. Few people know that President Bush Sr. was the president of the Council of Foreign Relations before he ever became president of the United States of America. Now, how can you be the presiding person over an organization that wants this nation subordinate to a world government and still champion the sovereignty of our nation when you become the leader of it? There are some very dark things going on behind the scenes that want the agenda that God reversed at Babel to be reinstated. Yes. God divided the nations then by dividing their languages because he knew the danger of a one world order and how that would be a platform for the Antichrist to emerge. And so God made sure that didn't happen. Well, now national boundaries are being dissolved. But men are trying to reverse a curse that only the Lord Jesus Christ can reverse when he comes again. Unknown to most of the American public, in the year 2005, President Bush Jr. signed an agreement called the North American Union. An agreement between the leader of Canada, the leader of Mexico, and our president. And one of its objectives eventually is to do away with the U.S. dollar, the Canadian loonie, the Mexican peso, and in its place we will all use the Amero. Just like the Euro over in Europe, we will use the Amero. And I guarantee you it will not have "In God We Trust" on it. And a financial disaster and collapse will precipitate that being pushed on the American public that would have never accepted it otherwise. That's in the agenda for the future. But the people that know their God, I said, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I don't care how soon this unfolds. I don't care how it unfolds. All I know is we are in a secure position. And I've read concerning the children of Israel, the more that the Egyptians afflicted them, the more they prospered and grew. And that leads me to believe the more the persecution comes against the church, the more God's going to open the windows of heaven. Oh, and pour out His glory on us. The compensation for persecution is worth it. Read Peter's writings. When you're persecuted, the compensation for that is the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So the more you're persecuted, the more the glory seeks you out. I don't mind the person. Oh, I felt a prophetic connection there. Jim Engel. Praise God. I don't mind the persecution because that's when God says it's time to open the windows of heaven over that individual. I'm ready for the glory to come. I'm tired of church as usual. I'm up to here with church as usual. I said, I'm up to here with church as usual. I want to see some mighty people awakened to the purpose and the ministry. It all happens in the mind realm. Everything in life happens twice. Everything you achieve, everything you accomplish happens twice. First, it happens in your mind, and then it happens in reality. And especially you that hear from God, God drops an idea in your mind and then you act on it, and it's got the force not only of soulish vision as ordinary human beings have, but you've got a God-inspired vision inside of you promoting you toward its end result. That's powerful. God has a vision for every one of you. I don't know about you, but I want to know what God would call me to do and what God would call me to be beyond the borders or the boundaries of the expected and the normal. Yes. I challenge you to turn around to somebody and say, I get sick of the thought of being normal. A normal Christian, an average believer. Do you know what average means? I hope you remember this. If you forget everything else I say, don't forget this. The word average means one of two things. You're either the best of the worst, or you're the worst of the best. Now think about that. Average means in the middle, and if you're in the middle, you're either the best of the worst or the worst of the best. How many of you agree with me that neither of those categories sounds very appealing? Amen. And I don't believe God wants you to be among the best of the worst or the worst of the best. He wants you, Rocky, to excel to the highest degree of potential that is within you. And if you're going to get there, you've got to leave the past behind. There's people in this room dragging corpses around. The corpses of yesterday's failures, the corpses of yesterday's pain, the damaged relationships, the failed dreams, the hurts, the rejections. You're dragging that around like a big corpse that's tied to you. Divest yourself of it, forgetting those things that are behind. I said, forgetting, you know, Paul was a typical preacher. Paul said, I'm going to just tell you one more thing. He said, this one thing I'll do. And then one thing quickly became three things. Have you ever heard a preacher say, I've just got one more thought? Don't believe it. Don't ever fall for that. Paul said, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching to those things that are before. But it's not enough to reach. You've got to go beyond reaching and start pressing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Come on, break out of the boundary that you've imposed on yourself. Years ago, I had a young man travel with me named Barry Burris. Did you ever meet Barry? An outlandish, unpredictable guy. And he would hear me preaching this way, and he absorbed it and decided one day to act on it. I took a group of young people to the local mall to witness, and they were witnessing one by one. And Barry got totally frustrated, he said, because while he was witnessing to one, 100 or 200 would pass him by. And he thought, there's got to be a way to reach more people at one time. And he happened to look up and see the intercom system lining the ceiling of the mall. And the light bulb went off in his mind. Bring thoughts in. One of my favorite quotes is a quote by Jack London. He said, bring thoughts in and entertain them royally, for one of them may be the king and may exalt you to honor. And so Barry was bringing thoughts in, and that thought came in and got stuck in his head. Yeah. So he went down to the manager's office, sat outside the manager's office in a deep spirit of prayer, and prayed that God would make a way for him to get on that intercom system. The mall manager left. The secretary to the mall manager left, leaving the office empty. And Barry said, thank you, Jesus, and walked in. He went over where the microphone was, flipped it on, and in a baritone and authoritative voice, he said, attention, shoppers, I have a special announcement for you today. This is Barry Burris. I have the offering of a lifetime available for you. If you'll just come to the mall manager's office, I, Barry Burris, will pray you through to an experience of salvation and everlasting life. You can have it free of charge today at the mall manager's office. Well, needless to say, some bouncers came to the mall manager's office. But Barry did think outside of the box. Why don't you start thinking outside of the box? Don't go crazy with it. Glory. But start thinking outside of the box. Hallelujah. Brother Jim Engle, you know this. I've shared it with you. A number of years ago, it began to bother me immensely that I was not reaching anyone in my former mindset. Before I became a Christian, I was involved in yoga. I was involved in meditation. I was not a cult member. I was a lover of God. I just did not know how to get to God. In the ashram that I ran, we would get up at 3:30 in the morning and start the day with 3 hours of prayer. We used methods that didn't work. We would chant Hindu mantras for 2 hours and then do other kinds of meditation for another hour and then do 2 hours of hatha yoga. All these things were supposed to take us to this elusive goal of God consciousness. The guru I studied under, and instantly the word guru means one who brings you out of darkness into light. The problem was he wasn't in the light yet, so how could he get me there? But he said it might take 20 or 30 years of following this regimen to eventually come to God consciousness. Of course, within the realm of the New Age, to come to God's consciousness means to come to a conscious realization that you are God. You blend in with God. You become God. Well, I've been around this world 57 years, and I've come to two main conclusions. Number one, there is a God. Number two, I'm not him. And never will be him. Praise God. But he said it may take 20 or 30 years to reach God consciousness. And then again, it may take 2 or 3 lifetimes being reincarnated back in this realm before you're loosed from this limitation of the human mind and you come into the revelation of who you really are. 2 or 3 lifetimes. I am so glad I found out it doesn't take several lifetimes. It doesn't take 20 or 30 years. It takes just one moment of bowing your knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing him as your Savior and your Lord, and the Holy Spirit will come into you and you'll be consciously aware of the reality of God. Come on now. You'll achieve, in a sense, God consciousness. You'll be consciously aware of who he is, how mighty he is, and how much he loves you. Come on, somebody, magnify the Lord that it came to you by faith, not by human effort. Now, we take that for granted. We know all these things. In fact, unfortunately, it's become common to us. I'll never forget when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit years ago. Do you know where I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever heard me tell it? You know where the old church used to be on South Lee Highway? Before we went to the new church, United Christian Church. You know where the Dairy Cream restaurant is across the street? Well, that's where I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went there to get a banana split and got the Holy Ghost. It was quite a momentous day. I just went there. I don't eat that kind of stuff anymore. But I went there just to get a nice banana split laced with all kinds of wonderful poison, red poison, yellow poison, all these different kind of poisons they put on it to make it more tasty, full of food colorings and all kinds of different things that are carcinogenic. I thought I'd throw that in for free to help you with your choices in life. But anyway, as I walked up to Dairy Cream, there was a woman sitting there with a back brace on. I had been seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for a year. I'd never felt the power of God. I'd never fallen out in the Spirit. I'd even helped God, and I'd rock back on my heels, hoping one of those preachers would practically knock me down. It never would work. I never felt this feeling inside. I never spoke in tongues. I never had a vision. I tried to have a vision. I would close my eyes and wrinkle my brow and peer into the spirit world, and somebody would say, "What do you see? What do you see?" And I'd say, I believe I'm seeing something from God. What is it? It's either a black curtain or a dark pit. But to be honest with you, I think it's the back of my skull. So I never had any supernatural experiences, and I was getting increasingly depressed about it because everybody else around me claimed to have them just about every day. But I got to the point where the day before I'd made a commitment to God, and I said, "God, the hinge of my joy is no longer going to be whether or not I speak in tongues or feel the power or fall out under the anointing. From now on, I'm going to do everything I can to advance your kingdom and to help your people if I never feel anything supernatural in my own life." I didn't know it, but I had passed a test. It was no longer just to meet selfish need that I received this experience. It was no longer just all about my need being met. Well, anyway, I walked up to the Dairy Cream, and there was a woman sitting there with a back brace on. And I said, "Ma'am, can I pray for you that the Lord Jesus Christ will heal you? I'm a minister." She said, "Well, I'm a believer. I believe he can heal me. You're very welcome to pray for me." And I reached out to pray for her, and my hand never touched her forehead. I got about that far from her forehead, and the fire hit me from heaven. It felt like a lightning bolt, and I was a lightning rod, and it attached to me and went through my body and then exploded inside of me, and liquid fiery joy started flowing out of me back toward God, and I was talking in tongues at the top of my voice. I have no idea what happened to the woman. I never saw her again. I don't know where she went or whether or not she got healed. All I know is I started dancing and leaping and jumping all over that Dairy Cream parking lot, rejoicing in the Lord. Kent Sullivan, the guy who won me to the Lord, was with me. He'd never seen me act that way. I was always kind of a knot on a log in church because I never felt the power. And he was wide-eyed with wonder. He ran over and grabbed me by the arm and started jumping with me. And he said, "Mike, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "Ken, I finally feel the fire. I finally feel the fire. I finally feel the fire." You know what he said? He said, "Well, calm down. You'll get used to it after a while." Please turn around to someone and say, "I think that's the problem. I think that's the problem." I said all that to say this. I didn't want to get used to the level of where I was at. And I realized that there was a sea of humanity out there that I could never reach by the ordinary evangelistic efforts I was involved in. That has its value, great value. But I said, "Lord, there's got to be a way to reach beyond the boundaries of the church, because they're not coming in here into these meetings to hear me. So there's got to be a way to reach them." Everybody say, "Think outside the box." I said, "There's got to be a way to reach them." And God put it on my heart to write this book, In Search of the True Light. And in it, I tell my story. How I was a teacher of yoga and meditation, and I answer all the various objections to Christianity that New Agers have, and share my response now as a Bible believer to ideas like reincarnation and karma and things that New Agers believe in. I compare the beliefs of over 20 religions. That's what I looked like back in 1970. Don't fall off the pew laughing too hard. That was an article that appeared in the Tampa Tribune newspaper. But originally, I wrote this book to give it away. People don't write books to give them away, usually. But think outside the box. Reach your potential. I thought, I have a potential to reach this group of people, this cultural subgroup that nobody's really reaching. So I wrote this book, and I mailed it free to every yoga teacher and every New Age leader in the Los Angeles area, because God told me to start in Los Angeles. I sent out about 1,400 books free to every New Age leader, every yoga teacher in that area that I could get an address for. Two yoga studios shut down with the leadership finding the Lord. Praise God. And that's the crack in the dike, I guarantee you. And the next thing we're going to do is make a small version of this, about 32 pages, and send it to every yoga leader, every Hindu leader, every New Age leader in the entire United States of America, state by state. I want to be one of the devil's worst nightmares. Come on, I'm saying this for a reason, not so that you'll know what I'm doing, but I'm trying to get you to stretch your expectancy out concerning your own life and your own potential. Come on, get beyond the boundaries of the normal and the average. You'll be surprised what opens up to you as a result. In fact, the largest Christian television production company in the world recently contacted me. The president is born again. I sent him that book and my concept about Christian television and how it could be used on secular networks if it was done a certain way. And he called me personally about 3 days later, and they want to do a series of 14 one-hour documentaries that will air on Discovery Channel, History Channel, Hallmark, The Learning Channel. Oh, TBN Daystar and Inspirational too. But I'm not as excited about being on the Christian channels and networks as those channels that will reach tens of millions of Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims worldwide that would never tune into TBN. Come on, what started as a seed thought has erupted into a mighty global potential to shake this generation and bring them back to the knowledge of the true and the living God. Somebody magnify the Lord with me. Because again, I started thinking outside of the box of the way everybody else does it. Because I guarantee you, if you go to a Christian bookstore, any book on world religions or on the New Age uses very degrading, demeaning speech toward New Agers. The titles even, The New Age Nightmare, something like that. You can give those kind of books to Christians, and they'll gobble up the information, but you can never give the book to an actual New Ager because they'd be totally offended by your approach. And somehow nobody's thought about that. They've been preaching to the choir, writing to the congregation, instead of reaching beyond the walls to build bridges to a lost human race. And I don't think the Great Commission was go and bless the body of Christ and write books that just they will be edified by. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I guarantee you, once these films air, and we're very close to the funding for the first film, once they air, maybe I can join forces with you over in India, Jim Angle, once again. Because God's withheld me from going back to India for many years. And he let me know once this covers the globe and has its influence, then it's going to set the stage for some international crusades, the likes of which I've never seen before. And it all started with one little seed thought. Bring thoughts in and entertain them royally. And don't accept any kind of opposition. When I was writing that book, my wife had our little daughter, Destiny. And my wife was extremely sick for 6 months. And so I was the primary caregiver. And so to write that book, I had to hold a baby in one arm and type with one finger. 336 pages with one finger, I guarantee you, is quite a mountain to climb. But if you've got a mind to do something, do it. Do it. I said, don't accept a limitation. Do it. I wonder how you could shake this city if you set your mind to get out of the boundaries of normal Christianity and become the most radical bunch of soul winners that this city has ever seen. The potential is here, and I feel something being awakened in the midst of us tonight. Can somebody give God a praise? Oh, God, what are you doing? I don't know. Joel said it in a very unique way. He said, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. And then he told us how to do it. You better prepare for war. I'm not talking necessarily about war naturally. Certainly that will come. But I'm talking about an all-out war for the control of our nation. I don't have time to go into it. But God showed me back in 1985 that this nation would have another great awakening again. And I don't care. I don't care what the statistics say. I saw statistics recently that bothered me beyond measure. That from 1990 to the year 2000, Christianity only grew 5%. Bona fide, verified statistic. It only grew 5%. While the New Age grew 240%. In the United States of America, Hinduism grew over 200%. Islam grew about 137%, while Christianity grew 5%. I don't care what the stats say. I know what God said. And God let me know he's going to awaken this nation again, but he's going to use people like you to bring it to pass. Prepare for war. You've got to have a military mindset. A soldier wakes up ready for war. He goes to bed ready for war. He goes to bed knowing that he may be awakened out of his sleep with an enemy that needs to be tackled immediately. You know what I'm talking about. We need that kind of militaristic mindset in the church. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Would you lay your hand on your heart and say, wake up the mighty men. Come on, wake up the mighty men. The next line tells us how to do it. Lift one hand and say, let the weak say, I am strong. Come on, the miracle's in your mouth. The awakening is in your mouth. As long as you say, I'm weak, I'm incapable, I'm not able to do this, this is too much, this is too heavy a responsibility, you'll box yourself into your own negative confession. But if you dare to start saying, I am strong, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When Caleb was 80 years old, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, after 4 decades of the dream of entering into the promised land becoming just a cloudy memory, still, when they were on the edge of Jordan once again, at the age of 80, he said, I'm as ready for war as I've ever been. Prepare for war, wake up the mighty men, and let the weak say, I am strong. I challenge you to start thinking of yourself like God thinks of you. I am strong. I can rise above all the adversities in my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. The miracles in your mouth. The problem is we're putting stuff into our mouth that's so negative it's going to come out of our mouth eventually. You better be careful what you put in your mouth. Better be careful the kind of words you put in your language. The kind of statements describing yourself. I learned in a very simple way to be careful what you put in your mouth. I came home about 2 o'clock in the morning from a revival trip and did not want to wake up my wife. My wife is one of those peculiar people. If you wake her up in the middle of the night, she's up the rest of the night and miserable the next day. And if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. So I didn't want to wake her up. So I went in the bathroom. I really wanted to brush my teeth. But I thought if I turn the light on, the light going under the door will wake her up. So I thought, I know what a toothpaste tube feels like. And I stuck my hand in the drawer and fumbled around and found something that felt exactly like a toothpaste tube. And I found where my toothbrush normally is, spread it on there, and put it to my teeth. As soon as I did, I knew I had made a serious mistake. That did not taste like toothpaste. Wake up my wife or not, I flipped the light on and found out that I was brushing my teeth with diaper rash ointment. I'll never do that again. Of course, I've never had diaper rash in the mouth, so it must have worked. But be careful what you put in your mouth. Because the words you put into your mouth, the words that you speak, are going to have an effect and create reality in your life. Be a champion. Dare to be like David and say, is there not a cause? to fight for. Until you find something worth dying for, you really haven't found something worth living for. Right now, people, the main thing they live for is to get to the next level. Don't bother me. I'm almost about to beat this video game. That's a senseless waste of time. Day after day of being entertained. 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 This generation is an entertainment drunk generation. They've gotten intoxicated on entertainment from this industry and that industry in order to while away hours and hours of their lives and days and weeks and months and years when there's a task at hand that demands our attention. That's the most important thing given to any generation, and that is to herald the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and to prepare a generation to meet their God. Come on now. You're more important to His plan than you realize. I'm talking to the mighty. Will you give me 5 more minutes? Raise your hand if you'll give me 5 more minutes. I asked that question in a prison one time. I said, how many of you will give me about 5 more minutes? And one man sitting on the front row said, keep on preaching, man. I got 5 years.